We praise your holy name, for you're worthy of all the praise. You're worthy of all the glory. The honor belongs to you. Lord God, knowing you, Lord God, is more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compared to you. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that you would just touch every person in this place, God. Every heart, every mind, every soul and spirit. Bless them, keep them. Let your anointing flow upon them. Father, from heart to heart, let the power of God move, oh God. In the name of Jesus right now. Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you would give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe. Father, I thank you now that you've blessed us. I thank you for your word that sustains us and strengthens us. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Ghost who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us, that cleanses us, that cures us, and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that when we couldn't do for ourselves, you've done for us. And we love you, God. We love you because you first loved us. Father, after you've touched everybody, after you've healed every soul and delivered every soul, healed everybody, Father, we'll be careful to glorify and praise your name. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. We magnify your name. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought today, and this was the first thought, and then I went somewhere else, but this came to me some time ago in Bible study, and for a couple of folks that were with us a few weeks ago at seminary, I gave a bit of a devotional touch of it, a message, and but the title of this message today is simple. It's He Nailed It. Amen. Tell somebody he nailed it. He nailed it. Amen. I had somebody, he dwelled in the flesh because we couldn't do it. We couldn't pull ourselves out of the mess that we were in, but he could pull us out. I wish I had somebody. You see, when we fell, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, then Adam and Eve couldn't pull themselves out of the mess they had made. They put on fig leaves and as aprons and to cover up themselves. And you know, fig leaves, I don't know about you, but I pick figs. And fig leaves, amen, fig leaves, they're real irritable. They make you itch like never before. You got to put on long sleeves to go pick figs. And so here it was, they put on fig leaves, and what they tried to do to help themselves, it was actually aggravating them. It was actually irritating them. So God came down in the cool of the day. Somebody say cool of the day. The reason God came in the cool of the day was to let them know, I'm not mad, I'm cool. I know you messed up, but I got this under control. Come on and say amen here. He came and he slayed an animal, and he took the bloody skins and he covered Adam and Eve up, and the blood that was on them began to soothe their irritation. I wish I had somebody. And the skin that was on them began to cover up their nakedness. And that's what the Bible says about from the foundation of the world, the lamb was slain. So God did it way back then. And he kept giving us pictures of it. He kept giving us pictures of how he had a covenant with mankind. He had a covenant with Adam and Eve. Then he had a covenant with Abraham. And as Abraham walked through the covenant, when God told him, I got a covenant with you, he said, cut up this animal, and he wants you to put the parts to where the blood will flow in the middle. And when they made a covenant, he would walk through it. And then at that night, when Abraham walked through it, they looked and they saw the five God walking through the covenant. He walked through the blood. And that was a covenant with God. So God asked Abraham, he said, Abraham, give me your son. And he said, I want you to go and kill him. And he went up the hill of Moriah, and he went to go kill his son. And then God said, hold on, I'll give you a ram in the bush. And then, you know, in a covenant, you can't ask somebody to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. So God, while he was asking Abraham to do that, later on, he did what Abraham was willing to do by giving his son, who he had made a covenant with. Amen. All right, let me go on now. He says, for whom, in verse number 10, he says, for, and ye are complete where? In him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, what we got to understand here, we got to stay focused, because sometimes we don't feel complete. Sometimes we feel like that, you know, we haven't really, we're not who we're supposed to be, but in him you're complete. You sometimes feel like I ain't nothing but a sinner, but in him you're complete. Sometimes you feel like I keep falling short, but guess what? In him you are complete. Oh, come on and say, I'm trying to encourage somebody. I know you've messed up, but when you come and you say that I am in him, that means that now you are complete in him. The work that he's done is not half done, because God don't ever half do anything. He always completely does what he do. And so he has completely saved you. You just working out your soul salvation through the walk that you're taking. You're working in the process of sanctification, but yes, you have salvation and you have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So he said you're complete, right? And he is above, and look, he's letting us know that he's above all principalities and power. There is no power, there is no principal spirit that can judge you and say that you're not complete, because there ain't nobody above him. He's the highest, he's the most high, amen. And so verse 11 says, in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So verse 11 tells us that we are circumcised. And what that means, it means to cut away the skin. You know, this flesh is what's our problem. The skin that we in is our problem. I know we fix it up. We perfume it up. We wash it up. We make up it up. You know, we make it look good, but it's really our problem. But he says that we have been circumcised. Some of the extra flesh, you know how some people just extra? We got some extra skin, and God's cut that away so that we won't continue to be extra, getting in stuff we ought not to. Amen. He says that he's circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sin. Do you know that before you knew Jesus, that you walked in the body of sin, that everything about you was sin? God couldn't even look at you right, because you were a sinful being. Because even at our best, no doubt that our sin that we have, that it makes us as filthy rags, even at our best, but we walked in a body of sin. But now we're no longer in the body of sin. We in the body of Christ. And so he says, sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And so he saved us from this flesh. He saved us from the sins that we were committing because of the cutting away, because of the cutting. And that is that's what that means, is that there was a covenant cut. And so because of the cutting of the covenant with God, then we are now saved and we are now circumcised by him. Now look, so you have to stay focused, right? That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. That and for me too, I have to stay focused. I have to know who God is. I have to know that that he is fully in Christ. Amen. I don't need to doubt who he is. I need to know that. And not only that, I don't need to doubt what he's done, that he's completed me. That's why the scripture tells us in Romans 8 that we don't let your, he said that there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? Spirit. So we need to make sure that we understand who he is and who we are in relation to him. So stay focused. Tell somebody, stay focused. But then tell them, have faith, because look at verse number 12. He said, buried with him in baptism. So when we got baptized, it was a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ working in your life. What that means is that he said buried with him in baptism, when I got baptized, I went down in a watery grave, but when I came up, I was resurrected, amen, with him. Also, you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Look at this, the operation of God. We have to get this through our head. It's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. I know they told you need to stop eating catfish and don't eat shrimp and don't eat crawfish. I know they told you that you know you need to go to church on a certain day. I know they told you that women can't do this, and men, if they have that, they can't do this. I know they gave you all kind of rules and regulations, but none of that will make you good enough to come before God. I wish I had somebody here. He said, look, that once we were buried with him, and once we were raised with him, he said that this by faith is the operation of God, meaning that you really don't have anything to do with your salvation other than having faith. You can't save yourself. I can't save you. But God, through Jesus Christ, in his operation. Come on and say amen. In other words, it's the way God operates. He operates to the point that he saves everybody, even those who can't. Oh, come on and say amen here. Even those who say, you know what, I just can't get it right. I keep making a mistake. But the Bible says a just man falleth what? 7 times. But he gets back up and say, Lord, I messed up and I need you to help me. And guess what? God even saves that man, huh? Come on and say amen in here. And so thank God for his operation. How he operates is better than us, because after 2 or 3 times, if you mess with me, I'm through with you. I'm going to write you off. I'm not calling you. You ain't calling me. I'm going to delete your phone, block you off Facebook, whatever else I got to do. I'm through with you. But thanks be to God, he's never through with me, because he's always forgiving. He's always picking me up. He's always turning me around. He's always helping me. He's always delivering me. He's always doing something for me that I can't do for myself. And so I thank God for his operation. Lord have mercy in here. I'm thankful for his opera. I'm thankful for how he works. I'm glad he don't work like me, because me, I let you down. For me, I get mad with you. Me, I won't forgive you sometime. Me, I do. I'm telling the truth. Can I talk about me? Maybe not about you, but I'm telling you, I can get like that sometime. I can get contrary. I can get rebellious, but thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit, who turns me around and he tell me, you know better than that. You got to get better. You know you got to let go. How you going to get forgiven if you haven't forgiven them? Oh, come on and say man here. We got to understand how God operates. I didn't choose him when I thought I chose him. He already had chosen me. Oh, you don't believe me? What did he tell Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, and before you were born and in your mother's womb, I already knew you and what you were going to be. Do you know that we didn't choose God? I know you said, I found the Lord. I got my religion. I know you said that I remember the day and the hour. I can't remember the day or the hour, because he always had his hand in my life, the way that he operated. When I was out in the world, he didn't let me die in the world. He brought me out. Oh, come on and say man, and put me in a place where I can preach his word. I didn't feel worthy, but God said, you don't have to feel worthy. I'll make you worthy. I'll die for you. I wish I had somebody in the house. Glory. Anybody got faith here? Don't lose your focus, but have faith. He said that you got to understand that you got to have faith in the operation of God. I got faith. I got total trust in God that he can do what nobody else can do. I got total trust in God that it don't take a whole bunch of other stuff for me to realize I got salvation. Now, it might take a little bit of extra for me to get some things I want to get to. It may take a little bit of work, because faith without works is what? Dead. But that's for me to attain some things in my life. But in order for me to be saved, all it takes is faith, because of the operation of God. God, I trust him that he's able to do it. How many in here trust God that he's able to do? What do you trust God that he's able to do? Well, I trust him that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I can even ask or even think. If you can think it, God can do it. Look, if you can have it, God can heal it. If you can deal with it, God can come on and say amen. God can deliver you from it. Glory be to God. So I got faith in him that he's able to do it. I got faith in him that he's a deliverer. I don't have faith that God is a doctor. Because God don't have to practice medicine. He can speak a word. I have faith that he's a healer. Lord have mercy in here. God is not my Baal's bondsman. Because without a doubt, he don't have to pay anything. He can deliver. Ask Peter. Peter came out of jail, no bondsman. He came out of jail, didn't pass by the bailiff. He came out of jail, didn't pass by the ward. He came out the gate and an angel led him out to the street. I wish I had somebody. I have trust in God. Do you have any kind of trust? Do you trust that God can do what nobody else can do? Do you trust that God can do the things that you can't even think is possible in your life? God, I don't think that's possible, but I don't doubt God might do it. You ever had some stuff in your life you say, I don't know if that's possible, and then God just spiritually slap you in the side, say, look, I'm right here. I can do that. Just trust me. Lord have mercy. Trust the Lord. Trust his operation. Trust that God can make this thing work. By the way, the Bible says all things work together for the good to them that love God, to the called according to his what? And so if God, all things work together for the good, if all things work together, that means the bad and the good works together. Uh-huh. Come on, Quinn, give me some high keys. Give me something high. You got some high? Now give me some low. All right, see, the low and the high, what? They work together for make a good melody. So your life ain't nothing but a song, baby. And so since your life is a song, you need the highs and the lows so that you'll be able to make a melody that is sweet in the ears of God. So that when God, my life ain't nothing but a song before God. And so when I come before him and singing I come before him with my praise, then he looks and he tells the angels, hush, I hear a song that's so sweet. I got to hear what it has to say. I wish I had somebody. Oh, I got faith in him. Let's look at this. Verse 13. I'm trying to get done here. Verse 13. I'm almost there, y'all. I'm almost there. We understand we got to stay focused and we have to have faith, but then we have to look at those final things that God has done. Some things that he just made final. Some things ain't up for negotiation. Some things you can't change. Some things that won't, it's no way that you can manipulate. Some things that no way the devil can trick them and try to deceive you to get you out of them, because some things are final. Look at this. And he said, and you being dead in your sin and uncircumcised of your flesh, he hath what? Quickened you together. In other words, he has given you life. He has made you alive. You were once dead to him, but he decided that he's going to resurrect you. He decided that you're no longer dead, you are alive. Amen. And then he says, with him, having forgiven all you all trespasses. And look at this. We got to understand that God wants to forgive us. He's already forgiven us. And I had somebody telling me one day, well, you know, before I die, I'm going to do what I want to do before I die. I just hope the Lord give me a chance that on my deathbed, I say, Lord, forgive me. I told him, I said, you know what? God has already forgiven you. He wants you to repent. Come on and say, man, he's already forgiven. He said he's looking for somebody who's willing to turn from their wicked ways. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah in here. And so what's the difference between forgiveness and repent? He forgives you because of who he is, but you repent because of who he is. I wish I had somebody. I turn from my wicked ways because of how good he's been to me. The Bible tells us that through loving kindness has he drawn us. And because he's so good to us, because he loves me so much, it makes me want to be closer to him. It makes me not want to keep doing the things that I did back in the day. I wish I had somebody in the house. So he says in verse 13, he said, you're forgiven of all your trespasses. In verse 14, look at this. We got to pay attention here, because he says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. This is something to pay attention. Tell your neighbor, pay attention. That's why I slowed down. Blotting out. What did he blot it out with? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. He blotted it out with he went through the book. There were some things that he had written that was written down against you that you were guilty of. Yeah, you lied. You know you did. You know what? You know everything. You backbite. You be whoremongering. You whatever. Your adultery. Whatever you did was written down as a testimony against you. But thanks be to God, he wiped it clean. He says, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was some things. We transgressed the law. We couldn't keep the law. And that's why I wonder why, you know, a lot of these young brothers, they're trying to get back under the law. They're trying to tell us, you know, we need to get back up under the Levitical law and the law of Moses and things like that. But there is a law, Jesus said, that on these two hang the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that does it. Come on and say amen. And so that's final. We have to understand that. He said the handwriting of the ordinances that was written against us, he blotted it out. Amen. Which was contrary to us. It was working against us to have eternal life. It was working against us to be saved. He said that it's blotted out, and he said he took it out of the way. There were some things in our way. I was in my own way at one point. There was some sin that was in my way. There was some stuff that I know I did that I'm guilty of, but thanks be to God. that he cast our sin into forgetfulness and remember them no more. The Bible tells us that. But there was a story of a lady that was, I told this story before, it was a lady who was, the bishop of heard from a priest that the people wasn't coming to mass anymore in the Catholic community. And she said, and the priest came to him and said, well, people ain't coming to mass anymore and our offerings have been short. And so we don't have as much to give. So he said, well, what's the problem? All these people going to this woman's house. That's what they're doing because she's telling them that she's hearing from God and they believe her. And he said, well, she says she hear from God. And so you ask her, tell her the bishop said, what was it that I said to God in my last confession? And so he went to the priest, went to the lady. He said, lady, the bishop want to have you to ask God since you say you hear from God. He said it sarcastically. He said, ask God what the bishop told him in his last confession when he talked to God. And so the lady said, well, come back. I'm going to pray about it and I'm going to talk to God and see what he has to say. So the woman went and prayed. And when the priest came back, she told him, she said, the Lord said that he don't remember. So you tell the bishop that. And so what we got to understand is that God does not remember your sin. God forgives you of all. Lord, y'all should have been happy. I'm happy that the Lord don't remember all my sin. Because if I that'll be in my way, I would never make it to heaven. I would never have eternal life. I don't know about you, but I'm just being honest. I wouldn't be able to have eternal life. I wouldn't know what it'd be like to have peace. I wouldn't have the joy of the Lord. I wouldn't be strengthened in who I am. I would not know God. I would have lifted my eyes up in a burning hell if he remembered my sin. Ain't but a few of us happy about that. He says, but he look at this. He said that the ordinance which was against us was contrary to us, worked against us. He took it out of the way. And notice what he did. He nailed it. Come on and say he nailed it. He nailed it to the cross. In other words, he took all of our pain, all of our sickness, all of our sin, all of our diseases, whatever dis-ease you, and he took it to the cross. And the Bible said that greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for a friend. Do I have any witnesses in the house that said, I know this friend that you're talking about. I have a friend that stick it closer than any brother. And he made this final. It's no way that the devil can bring it back up against you. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And every day and every night, he's before God telling God how rotten you are. He's before God telling God how you've fallen short. And God is saying, yeah, I know, but Jesus is right there and saying that, look, God, I paid the price. Father, I went through hell for them. Literally went through hell because he went down into hell and he took the keys away from the hell, death, and the grave. And the Bible says that early, somebody say early. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And he made that final. Let's look at this. He said that he took it away. He nailed it to the cross. And the Bible says in verse 15, and having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Do I have any witnesses? I think I'm ready to go home now. He said, having spoiled the principalities. Now, what is he talking about? He said, now the principalities are the ruling powers of the air. The principality is a principal spirit that runs things in the world. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, so for instance, if you go into a city and there's a city with a high murder rate, that means the principal spirit is murder. If you go into a community and everybody's on drugs, then the principal spirit is farmer. In other words, that means it is a spirit that keeps them under the spell of them not being sober. I wish I had somebody. And so all these spirits that thought they were principal, that they had power, that Jesus, the Bible says, in verse number 15, he said he spoiled them. Now, what does the word spoil mean? It means that he disarmed them, preach. It means that they have no weapon. Lord have mercy, that they can form up against you, that'll be able to prosper against you. That means they have no advantage against you. That means they're not strong enough. They're not bad enough. They're not wise enough because of what Jesus has done for us. And so if I were you, I would shout now and say, he nailed it. Didn't he nail it? In other words, he done it right the first time. I don't have to go back a second time because the blood of Jesus has been once applied. I know you keep trying to apply the blood, but the blood don't belong to you. The blood belongs to God. And since he's already applied it, I don't have to worry about it. I can just stand on the word and say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. I can say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I can say those things. Somebody shout glory in here. Come on and shout hallelujah. I can say the enemy comes in one way, but because of God, he'll flee away from me seven ways. I can say I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my own testimony. Do I have anybody that say I'm ready to testify? Well, here's your time. You can stand on your feet and say, you know you can't sit down when you're getting ready to testify. Do I have anybody that's ready to take the oath and testify about the goodness of God? Come on, take the stand. What do you got to say? All I have to say is that he's worthy because he died for me. That he, come on and say yes. But not only did he die, I heard Isaiah say, he said that the chastisement of our peace was laid on him. That way he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and with his stripes I am healed. Do I have any testifiers that say I'm healed? I'm healed in my flesh. I'm healed in my soul. I'm healed in my spirit. I'm made whole by Jesus. Come on and shout yes. And that's a final thing. The Bible says that when Jesus was crucified, they pierced him in the side because he created the last miracle. Do you know what the last miracle that Jesus did? It was when he died, because nobody could die of themselves. He decided when he died. He didn't let man decide it, because they would go to the people who were on the cross. If they wasn't dead, they would break their legs so that they would fall down and they begin to exasperate and they weren't able to breathe and they would die of suffocation. But Jesus didn't die like that. You see, let me tell you about the cross. In other words, what they would do on the cross, they would have a little bit of a board behind them, so that every now and then they could take a break, because they were on the cross nailed there, and they would take a break, and they called it the mercy seat. Jesus said, I'm not going to sit on your mercy seat, because I got a mercy seat that you can't come to. I wish I had somebody. Come on and shout glory here. Jesus, the Bible says that he bowed his head and he died. He gave up the ghost. That was a miracle that he had already died. The Bible said he died there. They pierced him in the side and came out water and blood. Water for the baptism. Blood for the redemption. Do I have anybody? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been baptized? Have you been washed? If you've been washed, you ought to shout yes. Won't God wash you? Won't God heal you? I say, won't God do it? I say, won't he? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Tell somebody. Say, you've been sitting here all service, and it's Resurrection Sunday. I came to call you forth. You acting like Lazarus. So come forth. Get out of your grave. Come on and shout yes here. Tell them, get out of your grave, and let me testify to you. This is the last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to let y'all go home. I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know, I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? I say, do you know he's all right? Shout yes. Shout yes, shout yeah. I know he's all right. He nailed it. He did a finished work. He nailed it. He did it in a perfect manner. Ain't nothing I can add to it. Ain't nothing I can take away from it, because he finished the work. Yes, he did. Jesus died. And you know what he said before he died? It is finished. So if it's finished, why are we trying to work it over again? It's finished. He rose. The Bible says he's the firstborn from the dead among many brethren.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana.